Again, you are listening to Don't Give Up Radio, and I am your host, Jackie Wayans. So happy to be here with you, and we are starting off the year right. As you know, every now and then, I like to, a couple of times a year, at least quarterly, send to you mission work, work that's being done on the ground, in the city, or around the world that is changing lives and impacting those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Tonight, we have Jesse Hardy, more known as Jesse J. Hop Hardy, with us. He is someone who founded Homeless Operations out of New Haven, Connecticut, and he's going to be sharing with us, along with a member of his team, about that work. This is something that has been going on now for a year at least, and he works on the ground to supply clothing, food, haircuts, and various types of ministries, but his goal is to take it much further than that and to really increase the mission and the work and the awareness of homelessness, not only in Connecticut, but in New York City and even nationally. His team is hoping to work together and to even grow a larger team to be able to be effective in this work. And if you keep listening to this broadcast, you will find out why he's so passionate about what he does, but you will also find out simple things we can do to support and make this happen. Jesse, welcome. I'm so glad you're with us. Jesse, are you there? Okay, for some reason I know Jesse is on the line, but I can't hear him at the moment. I know he's going to be on and alive with us in just a few seconds. You know, I'm going to play an intro song. It's called Arise. And I want you to hear for yourselves, this is by William McDonald, exactly what people are going through. Many of us are so unaware because of our own lifestyles. But take a listen to what is happening around the world and right here in America right now. And when we come back, I'm sure Jesse will be with us.
Look around. Tell me what you see. Nearly a billion people into the 21st century, unable to read a book or sign their name, illiterate and unable to read, not even the Bible. Look around. Tell me what you see. Earthquakes, natural and man-made disasters, political unrest, famine, war, poverty, and disease all around us. The truth of God being trampled and Jesus being scorned by a world in desperate need to encounter Him. Tell me, what do you see? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. And Jesus Christ, the only answer for the world, lives in you and moves through His body, the church. Yet the world says that the church is losing its influence. This cannot be, not on our watch. May the eyes of this generation be opened. 1/6 of the world's population is hungry. Half of the world's population lives on less than $2 a day. Half of all the children in the world live in poverty. More children die from drinking bad water than HIV, AIDS, and malaria combined. And water is the most abundant resource on the planet. Look around. What do you see? Church, how will we respond?
How will we respond? Those of us who have an understanding, those of us who see every human being on this planet as an extension of ourselves, how will we respond? Jesse, are you here to help us answer that question? Okay, Jesse, I think you might need to call back in on another line because I am not hearing you come through. Just give that a try. You know, it's an amazing thing. I live in New York City, and I born and raised here, and when I went away to to college, I was able to be in a more suburban atmosphere. And when I came back to New York City in the early 90s, it was quite a shocker to find the amount of homeless people that were living on the trains. And my first instinct was to just give money to everyone that I saw, and it didn't take long to realize that that was not the answer. And of course, we're encouraged not to do it that way, and what I do is I really try to use my instinct. But Jesse is actually going to share with us when he comes on exactly, you know, what it is that we can do to speak with people, to encourage them, to even identify if they are actually and sincerely desiring help. So, Jesse, you are on the line. Can you hear me?
Hi, Jesse.
Yeah, there you are. Wonderful. Great. I can hear you now. That's wonderful. So, listen, take a minute and just introduce yourself to our audience. I want to know a little bit about you. How did you, become so passionate about the plight of the homeless? You know, many of us just had our favorite donation or our favorite cause, but you really have pulled out all the stops. So tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got involved in this.
Well, my name is Jesse Hardy, and Jackie, I got to tell you, I became homeless, and it really wasn't, fun. I mean, I lost my apartment because I had a construction job, and I lost my job, and I had to end up living in a shelter. So I lived in a homeless shelter for about 5 months. In this homeless shelter, I had to pay $350 a month to stay there. And also, I see these people, downstairs from where I live. I live upstairs. You know, I had a very good, 27-inch TV. And I all the necessities, like having a regular apartment, but I downgraded. And as I see these people, they didn't really have the things I had. I felt like I was really blessed and just to even live in a shelter. And so I wanted to do something really special for these people, like I make them breakfast, give them clothes, and also, coats and also boots and some things of that nature.
I need to raise your volume a little bit. I'm having a little hard time hearing you. But what I'm hearing you say is that you yourself, were homeless and living in shelter after you lost your job in construction. And during that time, that's when your heart developed for the individuals around you. When you say that, you realize that there were people in worse situations than yourself, in what way?
Okay, in which way? I mean, these people, I'm noticing someone wearing the same clothes. I mean, I'm basically more dirty looking than I will ever be, because I have a shower. And, I mean, they have a shower too, but their clothes, it wasn't good. They didn't have the resources I had. I was actually building a barbecue truck, me and my brother. We was building a barbecue truck, and I was getting my life back together. Next door, I was going to school. I was going to adult basic education just to further my education. And I just had a passion, to really help these people. And it was just a beautiful feeling. Once I made them breakfast, and also, I gave them clothes. And it just made me feel so good, because others wasn't doing that. People just wasn't doing it. It broke my heart. It really broke my heart. And it really made me feel good to do it. And this is where I basically got this from, to help the homeless.
You said a few key things there that I think is the first nugget that people can get from listening. Especially if you're listening and you know someone who's in this situation, or you think you're on the verge of homelessness or even in it, that even though you were in a shelter, it didn't stop you from moving forward. You went and you got your GED. You started a small business with your brother. But I think the most key point here is that you realized that there were those less fortunate than you, and then you started to give. And sometimes we make the promise that we'll give or make a difference after we get back on our feet. You actually started the process of giving while you yourself were still in this situation, and that's extremely commendable, and it shows your heart in the situation. Explain to me something here. You said that you were paying $350 in the shelter. Well, I actually am not familiar with that. In New York, you know, you hear people saying how it's been, you know, a drain on the economy. So apparently that's not the only model. Talk to me about what you were, the type of program you were in.
Okay, yes. This program was a program, I guess, to get you back on your feet. I guess if people lose their apartment, or basically this program was for people, I guess, either on drugs or people, I guess, just lost their apartment due to different reasons. It's a program that's called On the Move, and it was on the third floor of the shelter, and everybody had a room. I mean, everybody had a key to their room. I had one of the biggest rooms on the third floor. And the thing is, with the $350, it's your own room, so you have to pay room and board every month. Now, the second floor, that was called LOS, and some people pay $90 a month, and these are the less fortunate people. They have a job, but they had to pay part of their money to go towards the rent. Now, the people on the second floor as well, there's more people staying there, and these are people that emergency, they had to pay $3. They had to pay $3, and that would guarantee you a bed. That would guarantee you a bed every day. And some people were just unfortunate. They didn't have the money. So if you didn't have the money, then you would have to pick a lottery. You have to pick a lottery and pray to God that you got a bed. You know, quite
wow.
A few people got turned around, and this really broke my heart, you know, seeing people get turned around. And
these weren't just single people. There were also families, children, teens.
Absolutely no, Jackie. These was mostly men and women. No children were in the shelter. Like I said, if you didn't pick the right lottery bingo ticket, then you wouldn't be allowed in, you know. And I want to change this. I definitely want to change this. And it's just heartbreaking, you know, to see somebody, even this type of weather, you know, you get turned around. And they even have another program called referral. You cannot get into a shelter while being referred in. You know, you can just come off the street and go to a shelter and seek shelter. They won't let you in unless you're referred by a clinician or a case manager. And this is the thing that we're trying to change.
Wow. There's so many nuances to homelessness and the red tape and all of that. But I love the fact that you've honed in on what you can do right now and also are looking to fold in the elements that need to be changed and corrected. Now, many people may have gone through what you've gone through, but they didn't decide to personally become invested in the homelessness issue. Why did this become your passion? I know you're a man of faith. Tell me how that played a role in who you are.
Well, yes. I guess, you know, this is my upbringing. It was definitely my upbringing. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I come from the projects. You know, I come from Astor Street Projects. And these projects, you know, they do a lot to you. I mean, you could bring in the bad or you could bring in the good. You know, I guess, you know, different TV shows that I watched on TV, you know, and the positive things, you know, that's the stuff that really instilled in me. And I see certain things that I just absolutely love. My mother, she used to always sing hymns like Sweet Low, Sweet Cherry O, you know, certain things like that. I mean, it just touches me. You know, and it's no way of a God, you know, no way of a God talking to you, you know, saying, you're going to do the right thing. You are absolutely going to do the right thing. And he just puts in your heart and he just goes through you. And certain, you know, people, they inspire me, you know, to want to do better. You know, I have a lot of role models and even, I guess, even movie stars and also a lot of people in the neighborhood. And they really, really touch me. You know, to be kind-hearted and to want to do good things for people. Ever since I was small, you know, I always wanted to look out, you know, for my friends. You know, if they was hungry, I said, man, come on, Miles. You know, come get some meat. You know, you don't have any clothes, and you can wear what I got, you know. And this is where it comes from. You know, this is exactly where it comes from. You know, I always was a giver. And I always was a giver. And this is why I insist that people get involved with J-Hop. You know, this is why I post things like on Facebook or I call people just to get them involved. You know, you don't want to just walk by nobody. You know, you see them like in the street, like all half basically starving. I mean, how can you do that? I mean, if you have God in you, you're going to want to help them. You're definitely going to want to help them if you have God in you. There's no way
possible. Well, did you think to me that, you know, you had this ability, this sensitivity, even as a child growing up? So it really shows, you know, I believe definitely that God gives us all gifts and talents and abilities. And so this is clearly something that was even in you before you came into your circumstances that really kind of lit it up for you. And I know that at an early age you gave your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Yes.
But there was a time when you were in this homeless period and you're going through everything and you're trying to get back on your feet that you kind of lost focus a little bit. Tell us how God got you back on track.
You know, yes, I guess we all lose our way. You know, we mean well, you know, but, you know, certain things come into our life. Like, even with me, you know, me and my brother, we started a barbecue business. I mean, we have the best barbecue, Jesse Ray's barbecue, and I just love going to church, and I love going to church, praising his name, and, you know, just get together, you know, with the other Christians, you know, and praising our Father. But when you have a business, you know, you have to pay your rent and your overhead of a truck, which is very expensive. You're going to want to miss some Sundays. You know, you're going to have to miss some Sundays. So this is what happened to me. You know, I missed one Sunday, and I felt bad. You know, and then I missed another Sunday, and then eventually another Sunday. And before you know it, you know, 6 months go by. And then, you know, a year go by, and you lose sort of that part of your life, that relationship with Jesus. But still, that kindness was still in my heart. It was still in my heart, and I felt them, you know, saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And
but
I said, you know what?
You said that there was one day that he would not let you go. But you said there was one day that it just got to a point where you cried out to God and you asked him one simple question. And do you remember what that was?
Yes. What do you want me to do? I mean, what do you want me to do? You know, and I just walked downtown, you know, and I was on the Union Green, you know, and I seen all these homeless people, you know, just hanging around. It was like nobody was helping them. You know, nobody was helping them. So I said, you know what, Jesse? You're going to help them. You know, you are going to help them. Maybe it wasn't me saying it. It was just God saying it. Come to think about it. You know, maybe it was him saying that. I came up with an event, you know. I posted on Facebook that I'm going to help the homeless. And I got a response like, wow, these people, they want to help too. You know, so I asked for help. You know, I asked a few people to help me with a cookout. The cookout was called Extravagant Cookout for the Homeless. It's on YouTube. I mean, for the people that are listening that want to view in on it, it's Jesse Hardy's Homeless Cookout, you know, for the homeless in New Haven. And you can see the video. And it was amazing, Jackie. It was absolutely amazing. And I hope you can see it for yourself. And from there, I was hooked. I mean, I was absolutely hooked. We was doing the barbecue business. That went to a standstill because I went my way and my brother went his way. And I started J-Hop. And we've been doing event after event. And we've been doing like almost, we did 62 events in a year. I mean, that's a lot of events. Yes, I mean, giving people food. Yes, giving them food. And it was so amazing. After each event, I kept asking God, what do you want me to do next? And he just kept naming the events, like Operation Love Affair, just the different events that will help these people. And
you were being faithful, and that's what God asked. He asked for us to be faithful, and the more that we step out and we do that, the more he reveals to us what's next to do. I'm going to share a song right now. It's a fairly old one by The Winans, but what I love about this song, it talks about the fact that love is the answer, and I really believe that you've loved this work, and you've loved the people in the work, and we're going to talk more about that when we get back. But it also talks about the fact that love has no color. I'm sure when you were in the shelter and when you got out there in the field, you saw people of all different races, all different nationalities, and so we need to remember that this is not something that divides us.
Thank you.
Love has no evil. That is something that has been true and will always be true. You are listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and we're talking with Jesse J. Hop Hardy, who has a passion and a wonderful work that he started with the homeless community. And we're looking to see that grow and get bigger and better. And I'm reminded of, you know, as I was sharing with you, New York City, you know, homelessness is something that we see every day. In fact, we can oftentimes turn a blind eye to it. And I believe it was just last year or two, we had a gentleman who was discovered on television for his wonderful broadcasting voice and his ability to sing. And it seemed like the world went out of its way to try to put him into position and help him out. And apparently too much came too soon, and he was, put in positions and eventually wound up back on the street, long story short. And something, you know, I want to ask you, because it can be very easy for people to become jaded and to just look past someone and say, you know, they don't really want to have help. They want to be in this situation or this circumstance. And as you know, there are many pressures that they go through, and it sometimes becomes easier to live on the street. I want you to talk to us a little bit about whether it is fact or myth that the homeless people, most of them, are actually dealing with mental challenges.
There's just so much. You know, there's so much, you know, how people perceive these people. I mean, once you get something in your mind about how a person is, or you heard about, you know, homeless people are this, you know, they're that, they're crazy, you know, and they're this, that. This is how, you know, myths begin. You know, this is how they begin, and this is what people believe, and this is what stays in their minds. I mean, it really does. It's like it's seared into your mind. You know, if you go around these people, this will happen. You know, if you bring your kids, like, to the event, they'll go crazy, you know. But I guess, you know, people, they have their concerns, you know. And to be honest with you, in some situations, I can't blame them. You know, I can't blame them, you know, from some of the stuff that they heard, you know, like on TV, like, well, a homeless person did this and a homeless person did that. But you know what? It took me a while to get the trust, you know, to really get the trust of a homeless person, you know, and to get to change people's thoughts of how these people are, you know. They're really saying some beautiful things, and when it comes to, I guess, a J-Hop event, you know, they're saying how caring, how lovely people are, and they're not really takers, you know. A lot of people, they offer homeless people things to migrate. They say, no, that's okay. You know, give it to the next person. You know, they might need it even more. You know, that just really touched me. It makes me feel so good. You know, that it's like they're not abusing the system. They're not just taking things, you know, just to take them. You know, they mostly take things when they're in need, you know, and that's beautiful, you know. So, yes, there's a lot of myths, you know. There's a lot of situations, there's a lot of circumstances as to why people have their thoughts about how homeless people are, you know. But you should really do your research, you know, someone, you know, that's homeless, and get to know them. I mean, you will be amazed how smart some of these people actually are in the background. There's someone with the college, and it's just amazing, you know, how some of these people are. I really come across some really beautiful people and very smart.
Yes, you're absolutely right with that. If you actually take the time to listen to their stories, to ask questions, you know, to not be afraid to talk with them, pray with them, you know, you'll be able to really find out if they're the real deal, so to speak. And not to be afraid. And one of the things that I love what you do is that you do shower them with real love and compassion and something that's genuine genuine that they can feed off of and they can trust in. And I think that's why you've gained so much ground in just a year when many organizations have been out here for decades and haven't gained the type of trust among the homeless that you have been able to create. And the fact is, yes, there are many out there that have mental issues, and just being on the street itself lends itself to not being in touch with reality, so to speak. Would you say?
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, when you're on the street, you know, you're cold 1 second, and then you're warm 1 second, and then you're hungry. I mean, this does something to you. I mean, it really does something to your emotions, you know, your well-being. You know, no one could live like that. You know, I mean, these people are really amazing. You know, I mean, they're so amazing. It really intrigues me. You know, I don't really talk about this too much. I feel like I'm homeless. I really feel like I'm homeless, and I do things like they would do. You know, I would sleep on a park bench. You know, I would sleep in abandoned buildings as well, and also the bus stop pavilions. And I want these people to know, you know, that I'm real. I want to, not really, I don't want to live like them, but I want them to know that they can trust me, you know, and I'm their friend. And what's good for them is good for me. And I eat with them. I go to soup kitchens. You know, we rub elbows. We mask with each other. You know, and this is what really, really makes me comfortable, you know, around me. And we are going to kick homelessness' butt. I mean, if you really want out of homelessness, then you're going to get out. Because in 2014, you know, J-Hop, we're going to give you unlimited resources. We are rub elbows, you know, with people that really, truly want to help, you know, because there's so many people that really want out of this. I mean, there's some that abuse the system. You're always going to get that. But for the ones that really want out and want to work hard, you know, they want to do their programs, they want to volunteer at the soup kitchens, you know, and really, really be, you know, up and upstanding citizens, these are the ones that we're looking for. You know, we want to keep giving them all haircuts. We want to keep giving them all, you know, clothes and food. But for the ones that really want to go out of their way to better themselves, I say, you know what? Let's give them unlimited resources. And this is why I'm trying to build a team of some grassroots people that do specific things. Like, I don't know, find houses.
Before you get into that, because I want to get there, because I want the listeners to really carefully listen to what you just said. Listeners, pay attention here. This gentleman is not just, I was homeless once and now I care. He actually goes out into the street and gives clothes off his back, shoes off his back, sits and eats. In fact, at the end of last year, you put a post on Facebook saying that you would not be on social media for a while, and the reason for that was because you decided to take, I think it was 3 days, to actually live as a homeless person. Can you talk to us about what you did?
Well, I mean, it's really nothing to brag about, but, you know, I really had to really know what it is, you know, to really gain trust in these people, you know. I mean, Facebook, I mean, it's a beautiful media. I mean, even on Twitter, you know, I got a lot of help, you know, from people that really want to help these people. But in order for me, you know, to really, really gain the trust of a man, you know, I had to become him. You know, I had to become him. And I was homeless one time, but you know what? It was like, I was like a king. I was the king of where I was at. I was on the third floor. I had the biggest room in the shelter, you know, but I had to do something to really, really belittle myself and humiliate myself and humble myself all at the same time. I had to basically become homeless. You know, I had to sleep on a park bench. I had to sleep basically on the ground on cardboard. I slept in a cardboard box, even in front of City Hall. You know, no one to help me. No one helped me at all. So I know what it's like. I know what it's like for people to walk by you like, something's wrong with him, you know. They won't help you at all. I mean, you could be starving, and people's hearts, they just won't help you. So this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get more people involved when we get up to come to the events and really get an idea of what it's like, you know, to become homeless. and to see
the... You even washed in the fountains in the same way that someone who had no other choice would do. You washed in the fountains early in the morning before, you know, the public outdoor fountains people, okay? Before people said, you know, coming into the city. And you camped out in the woods. It was cold. And, you know, you got to the place where, you know, after a few days, you just couldn't take it anymore. And the thing of it is, you had somewhere to go. But the people that you left there did not have anywhere to go. The beauty of what you're doing, again, is that you are putting your trust in God to allow you to go forth and do what you need to do. The next song I'm going to play is actually called In God We Trust. It was done right after 9/11. And it's amazing that we come together for these huge tragedies, but they're daily tragedies that are happening all the time. And so I thought it was very fitting to play this song. And when we come back, I want you to tell the people exactly what you need, how we can support, and how we can join hands with you.
Okay, you know what that
is? In the book of Psalms, chapter 56, King David wrote, "In God whose word I pray, in the Lord whose word I pray, in God I trust, I will not be afraid."
Over the mountain of freedom, heavy our lips and freedom, counting the blessings that fall on us.
We go down into the valley before us, singing and shouting a chorus, donning the armor of life that
we're nothing without it. Oh, yeah.
home being the key word. Many of us do not have a place that we can call home. And, you know, Jesse, it may seem like I wasn't paying attention, but I really was, and I heard you when you said that you still feel homeless at times. And even though I'm sure that is a eerie feeling to have, that combined with your faith is exactly what allows you to want to take this work that you're doing to a higher place, make it bigger and grander than it has been this past year. Share with us what your vision is, what it is that you want to accomplish, and then talk to us about specific ways that we can support you.
Okay, you know what, Jackie? I want you to meet somebody. Now, I want you to meet somebody amazing. I mean, her name is Martha Jones, and she's the overseer at J-Hop. And I want you to ask her what you just asked me. I'll be here. Marcy, please just listen to her.
Okay, great. No problem, Marcy. Glad to have you. Jesse does have a team about 7, and Marcy, you're here with us. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. So I just asked Jesse, I said, you know, tell me, you know, what are the big things that you're reaching for the future that you wanted to expand J-Hop?
When Jesse came to me in September, he had, you know, visions just to do things that are necessities, and I think we have that covered in 62 events in 1 year. Now, in the future, we're looking towards one-stop shopping for homeless and sheltered. Having a place where they can actually come, detox if needed, speak with people in all resource categories. Not only transitioning out of homelessness, but gaining careers, getting the group help that they need from the actual horse, in addition to the food, clothing, meals. It really, really needs to be a place that's going to be one-stop shopping. Jesse's original vision was a mobile food kitchen. But I think I've taken him a little higher because I follow God and he follows God. And with knowing that without funding, we were able to do 63 events, that once we get everything that we need with funding, God is going to take us where we need to be. And I see place, the one-stop shopping, Jesse Thomas Outreach Center, you know, where you can walk in with any need and it be covered, whether you're homeless, sheltered, or just someone in need.
So one of the things you'll need clearly is a complex, a place in order to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Okay.
We have multiple places here in New Haven that have been empty for quite a bit of time, and they're larger places. I've, you know, done some of the specs on some of them. And, you know, it's anywhere from a $3 to $5 million project, but it's something that's needed in the area. So knowing how God works, I'm going, you know, furthering my education. I'm in a theology and apologetics, but, you know, I'm going for my PhD. I'm doing the steps that need to be done so that the facility will have a place, a person that will be over it, and then we would be able to, I envision us being able to employ 75 to 100 people in the facility with all the things that we'll be able to offer. But God always plants big, and he can plant big if it takes us 10 years, 5 years, 3, 20. If my daughter, who's 6 years old, ends up doing it, then, you know.
Oh, my. Wow. I know. I believe he will bring the vision to pass. Talk to me about team members. I know you have a very scaled team right now. What are some of the skill sets that you need to come alongside you and join you in terms of bringing this forward?
Of course, you know, it's doctors, it's nurses, other people with PhDs, but I love the book smarts. I don't mind having a certification, but our main thing is passion. We are willing to take some of these people that are homeless now that have lived in situations such as Jesse and his vice president, Dean Howard Jr., and educate them, send them off to like an ICDC to get certified to run their own groups so that are going through what they've been through, because nobody likes to talk to, you know, anyone better than the horse. I want to hear it from somebody that's been there, and I want to be able to offer that. So that's number one, getting the group counseling from people that have been through to people that are going through. And that, I think, will be a tremendous step. Having someone to run the detox area, having, you know, not only the counselors, but the people that know it inside and out, know the addiction, having someone that's been through it, training them, giving them the funding to go to school, train them to be the person that runs that detox, or what we call here in Connecticut, drunk tanks. You know, definitely, you know, just everyone needs to have the passion. Psychologists, I mean, I see it being a facility that has an overseer that's training people that have been through, you know, and I call it like a from the horse ministry, taking the ministry all the way from the people on the street, giving them careers to help people that are still on the street. Instead of it being a domino backwards, let's domino forward. Let's domino forward and knock them all down. So now you just walk into a center where now you're working. You can tell somebody, look, this is what, you know, being part of J-Hop has done for me.
And I love the investment in that because it's a personal buy-in for the person who's coming to you who's in need, because it's not just a handout. You're saying, you know, you can come here, you can get better, we're going to provide you with the tools and the skills and the offering, but then you'll also be in a position to turn around and give that back. That's the same as if someone comes and says to me, can you buy me a sandwich? And I say, sure, but I have these boxes in my garage. If you move them to the front for me, I'll walk with you to Subway. And that way they feel that they have earned it. It's not just a handout, so to speak.
Definitely. Now, see, you're bringing me into our vision. Our vision is to stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters of all races, genders, and situations and addictions without allowing them to rely on unnecessary resources. We help all in need. You know, in our mission, Proverbs 19:17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. So now, if we have been generous to you and you decide to be generous, who's going to repay you? You know, if God's repaying you, you're going to get what he has for you. So just walk in it. So our vision is to help everybody without having them rely on unnecessary resources. Okay, you need food, but do you need lots?
I love that. I think that's definitely a vision that not only those who are currently in a homeless situation, but people who are the heads of various other organizations. I think you're putting yourself in a wonderful situation to have others network with you, people who provide clothing, who provide haircuts, people who do graphic arts, people who offer various legal services. There's so many areas that you would need to be able to fully supply people and get them back on their feet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love what we do, you know, and just, I know Jesse told you we almost ran a little bit late, but we literally had just walked in the door at 9:50 from bringing food from another organization here in Connecticut called Fisher. They gave us 2 boxes of food to bring to somebody that called in to somebody in New Jersey who's part of Children for Change, but they called J-Hop in Connecticut for someone that's 45 minutes away. So we rushed back to be here for this interview for you. And let me tell you something, there's nothing like that ministry, the chills and the wills and knowing that God said, you know what, thank you for following me. Thank you for not putting them off till tomorrow for a radio show, you know, because it's God's work. I don't have no time to do nobody else's work, and Jesse doesn't have that time either. And he knows that. He knows that as long as he keeps walking, and I know as long as I keep walking, when he walks into me, you hear a passion. When Jesse says that it breaks his heart, he means it breaks his heart. Literally. I've seen Jesse cry.
I've heard him cry as well. Yes, definitely. That compassion is real. Can you tell people how to find you right now?
We are on Facebook. You can always go to Jesse Homeless Outreach Project, or look up Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, J-Hop, J-H-O-P, Hardy, H-A-R-D-Y, on Facebook. And we also have a website, and that is Jesse Hardy, spelled the same way, J-E-S-S-E-H-A-R-D-Y, Project. And that is actually on, I think it's web.webs.com. And we have our phone numbers listed there. You can look up Jesse Hardy, just his name, and a lot of articles will pop up over the year of things that we did. We give free haircuts and, you know, just the things that Jesse comes to me and says he wants to do something, and on a small or big scale, I either, you know, go, okay, we can do this, and just know that God's going to follow it, and it always tends to be that. And sometimes we don't even have money for the U-Haul.
I'm sorry. If you could please provide the phone number just in case you have listeners who actually aren't on the internet or on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. You can either reach Jesse at 203-850-2073 or myself, Overseer Marcy Jones, at 203-654-5114. We're not always by our phones, but we will get back to you as soon as we can. And a lot of people know that inboxing us on Facebook, because we're both Facebook junkies, is the best way to reach us. You know, we do, you know, come to as fast as we can. I give that 24-hour rule. Within 24 hours, we can't give you what you need. We will find someone to at least give you the steps to get what you need.
Yeah, that's absolutely fabulous. I thank you so much for joining us tonight. And for those of you listening, you did hear about Jesse Ray's food truck, and he does have a fabulous hot sauce as well that he has for sale, and a percentage of the proceeds of that hot sauce goes to J-Hop. So there are definitely resources and many ways that we can partner. So please do call, do find him on Facebook, and get connected. See what you can do. Get your kids involved. Get the students at your school involved. You're listening to Don't Give Up Radio. We'll be back with you again next week with more challenges and more encouragement. But I want you to know tonight, in fact, I don't want you to come to me, Jesse and Marcy, someone listening tonight who has a family member or friend that is in a homeless situation, what would you say to them to encourage them right now not to give up?
Well, trust God. Trust God. Stand in your storm. Storms are placed in our life for us to be strengthened from. Remember that Satan has a kingdom too. Choose your kingdom and let it be God.
Simple, to the point, and I thank you. Thank you so much, Jesse. If you're there and you can hear me, thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing what can happen. We're also looking for musical artists. We're thinking about putting together collaboration as well, something musically that can go out to us. So thank you again for joining me, and may God continue to bless you.
It's so important that we surrender. There are things on the heart of the Father that we can't even know until we posture ourselves to surrender to what He wants. We've been deceived by the enemy in the area of prayer, because specifically, I know this will go around the world, but specifically in America, the most financially prosperous nation on the earth, the enemy has deceived many parts of the church by convincing us to continue to pray for our own needs when we have everything we could possibly ever imagine.